Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
iZotope and Native Instruments have teamed up to create the start-to-finish bundle that home recording guitar nerds have been waiting for. Plus, you, dear listener, get an extra 10% off with Guitar Nerds by using discount code NERDS10 at the checkout on iZotope.com. From the creative spark to the final touch, their new bundles include pretty much everything you could possibly need, which is great because it's far too easy to sink hundreds of pounds and a big chunk of your time into just picking up random plugins. The Music Production Suite 4.1 and Complete 13 bundle contains over 30 intelligent mixing, mastering and repair plugins, 65 premium instruments, 20 plus expansions and over 35,000 sounds. And if that's a bit basic for you, they've also bundled Music Production Suite 4.1 with Complete 13 Ultimate, which gives you everything that makes Complete 13 incredible, plus a colossal library of added synths, sampled instruments and effects, 115 plus premium instruments and effects, 39 native instruments expansions and over 65,000 sounds. Whew. It sounds like a lot. It is. It's very good, very comprehensive. And as we've come to expect from iZotope, it's very good value. If you're looking to get into home recording, I cannot recommend it more highly. And if you're already into home recording, it really is the one-stop shop for making what you do sound better. This podcast is entirely treated and produced using iZotope plugins, and Native Instruments have been responsible for almost every synth or sample you've heard on our Guitar Nerds jingles. Check out their great new bundles on iZotope.com or follow links in the description of this podcast and use discount code NERDS10 at the checkout for 10% off anything in the iZotope arsenal. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello indeed, and welcome back, dear listener. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. So it's lovely to have you back, Matt. You had a week off.
I did. I couldn't remember if I had 1 or 2 weeks off. Every day is difficult without you, Joe. So.
Of course. Yes. Absolutely. But you know, you still managed to do some guitar stuff in your time away from the podcast.
Always.
You've expanded your range of your pedal collection.
Yes, as always. Yeah. So finally, after three months of waiting, I received my Dan Coggins / Dinosaural Cogmeister number 62, getting in there with the low serial numbers.
Wow. When was this made? When was the Cogmeister made?
So it's brand new for this year.
Right.
As you know, maybe listeners don't know, but you know, Joe, I'm not really on the old social medias anymore. But I think I was browsing it perhaps pre-podcast months ago. And yeah, saw a post about it, which I think must have come from Dan Coggins. So Dan Coggins being of Love Pedal, and then leaving Love Pedal and forming Dinosaur, which was his own company.
And then obviously, as well.
And now, meeting up with Thorpey and being the sort of lead hardware engineer for Thorpey. So they did the Deep Oggin, amongst many other things. So obviously, they've done the original Love Pedal was the brown sauce. They've done that in the bunker. The Field Marshal was the cheese sauce. So yeah, lots of work in that, but also making his own pedals on the side, sort of, yeah, still under the dinosaural name. So yeah, this is the Cogmeister, and Joe, you're going to love this. Right. I know you saw a picture, but you know, you could just make a normal compact pedal, but actually what you really want is three pedals in one giant box.
That's the whole three pedals in one thing seems very late 90s to me.
Well, that's exactly where I live all of the time. So no, what's great about this is it is just such a well thought out pedal and sound design. So you've basically got three sections that stack into each other from right to left. You start with a real 60s style Germanium treble booster.
Right.
Which has got
that's what they're calling push.
That's the push. So you've got push, drive, and solo. So you've got push. So you've got gain, like a treble booster, just single control. But you've also got a lows control, which is, I guess, taken from probably part of the design that maybe was in the Dane, where you had the boost that had the boost and then the lows. So as you boost the treble booster, obviously you're boosting certain frequencies, and perhaps it feels like you're losing others. So the low allows you to kind of get more of a bottom end push, which is obviously really nice. So straight off, great. Just make great gooderer. just on all the time. Just obviously pushes an amp. Just a nice bit of sparkle. So that's your push. Then you go into the drive. So Dinosaur used to make a pedal called the Tube Driver. Tube bender, tube something.
some
standard words based on a 70s fuzz box design. So very much of that kind of tube bender sort of
tone bender
type vibe. So you've got volume, sustain, and tone, and then you've got a three-way dip switch, which is like a kind of a big low cut, a small low cut, or no cut at all, so flat EQ. And it just sounds meaty, like super meaty, but also responsive to the way that you play. Importantly, responsive to the way that you play. So if you're kind of doing chords and you sort of softly, it just breaks up a nice bit, and then you can obviously really dig in. And then you put the push into it, and then you're pushing a treble booster into that kind of fuzz circuit, which is amazing, you know, absolutely amazing. And then you've got the solo control, which is basically a clean boost, but it's got a peak control, which
peak
I think
do?
Focuses on like mids and upper mids. So with the peak control all the way down and the level control to max, it's almost like unity gain. So the peak almost works like another gain. So you kind of balance the frequency with the volume to either give you a solo, or how I've been using it, as a master volume for the whole thing. So you can crank the treble booster into the fuzz, and then you've got the fuzz going into the solo, but then you just set that to kind of unity. But then you've got the peak control to kind of dial in a bit of post gain grit and you know, find the kind of frequency range you want, and just have all three on together for effectively just the most ridiculous fuzz box with tons of gain known to guitar kind. It's absolutely brilliant. Made to order exclusively by emailing Dan through Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that is, I don't think, I think it's Dan Coggins Audio. It is dancogginsaudio.co.uk. You can see a picture of it on there. I think you can probably just drop him a message via his website. But I don't think you can order. There's no like order page directly on his website.
It's for those in the know.
It's for those in the know. So yeah, I think you basically have to drop him a message on Instagram and be like, I would like to order one, please. And then you just sit and you wait. They're built in batches. So I think yeah, I was part of the second batch. So I think they're just doing batches. But definitely, definitely one worth checking out.
Are they
super
expensive?
Impressive. $2.99
Okay.
So slightly less than three. Slightly more than 289.
It's a premium. It's a premium price point, but you know, for something that you have to order by an Instagram message because it's that exclusive, I did expect it to be more expensive.
Yeah, and you know, one guy sitting at home.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Building pedals.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fair enough. Joe, you know, it should be, you know, you should get paid and you should charge what you need to earn from that pedal. And if you're sat there and it's taken, well, you know, 2 months to build that batch, which I'm guessing was probably maybe 50 pieces, I don't know. You know, I think that's fair enough.
Mm, yes.
Pay people what they deserve to be paid, is what I say. But yeah, it's an excellent, excellent fuzz pedal. And I sort of also bought it in the knowledge that Dan doesn't make that many. Obviously, Love Tone pedals are insane amounts of money now, since they were sort of really kind of discontinued, I guess, in the late 2008. Yeah. Dinosaural doesn't really make anything. They weren't really a kind of big brand like some of the other brands out there. And I just think one of those things that's going to be, you can sort of already tell it's a kind of legend. It's going to be revered. People are going to want that in the future, I think. So not that I bought it to sit on it for 20 years and then sell it. You know, I want to use it very much right now. But yeah, and I did speak to Dan briefly, and he was up for coming on the podcast and talking all things geeky audio at some point.
Oh, yeah, so, we should get him and Adrian on an episode. And
yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be really good to, you know, for him to talk about some of the work that he's done with, you know, Thorpey and some of the design work and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it could be a real, real interesting podcast. So keep your ears peeled.
Absolutely. Absolutely, dear listener. Well, you know, I've been on the sort of custom pedal thing. I've been meaning to talk for a few weeks now about the about Polymath making a little effects pedal. I cannot remember if I talked about this with Naomi on last week's episode. I'm not sure I did, but Polymath, my band Polymath, are putting out a new record in November. And we had like our first, you got to call them feature tracks now, not singles, but they are our first, it's all to do with playlisting, I'm told. I don't know. I don't understand these things. But anyway, our first feature track came out like a couple of weeks ago or last week. Time is an illusion. But anyway, our Our first feature track came out. So the record's called Zenith. The first feature track is also called Zenith. It's the opening track on the record. That came out. So that's available on Spotify, and you can do all the pre-saving, pre-ordering the record. And I decided I wanted to do like a cool giveaway thing. Like if you pre-order the record now, or even if you just pre-save it on Spotify or any of the big streaming platforms, then you get entered into this big hat to win a number of things. And I was going to do signed test pressing. That would be cool. One of the new T-shirts. We're getting this lovely embroidered T-shirts with the new Lotus Flower logo that we have.
Oh.
So, yeah. So
how big is the hat, Joe?
How
physically big is this hat?
Hat. Did I say hat? I meant T-shirt.
I thought you said you're going to put all your names in a big hat.
What you're saying. Yes. Yes, it's a large hat, cauldron size. Well, it depends how many people enter, really. And, you know, I'll just have to make their names smaller and smaller, use smaller and smaller pieces of paper. There is a beanie on our merch store, in fact.
Ooh,
maybe I'll just use
there?
One of those. Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to add to it, I was like, I'm going to get a pedal made and like give that away. So we'd been speaking, Matt, recently on the podcast about the Beastock sale over on Bright Onion pedals, mm-hmm. which is actually still going on. This made sense just because James from Bright Onion's a really great guy. He's also local to me, being in Brighton, as Matt did not know that Brighton and Bright Onion were.
I knew they were from Brighton, but what right. I didn't get was it was Brightonian and Bright yeah. Onion. I just assumed that he really liked onions. Just, you know, something like something weird like that. And I'm like, he's just a wacky dude. Wow. But now I know. We had a joke about it on email, actually, because, again, I think when we spoke on the podcast a few weeks, I was like, oh, I'm one of those people that just always goes to him with, like, I've got this idea for this stupid box that needs to do this and this. And after we spoke on that podcast, I was like, I've got this idea for this stupid box that needs to do this and this. And then I realized I don't actually need to do that. So I didn't get it made, which he's probably thankful for anyway, because it was just taken up all of his time working out how it works.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, if you're not aware, dear listener, if you missed that episode or you haven't heard us talk about Bright Onion before, Bright Onion pedals make a whole load of utility stuff like true bypass loopers, signal routing switches, tap tempos, buffers, and things like that. And they've been around for a long time, and they've made pedals for like big people. They've got a little list of people they've made things for, such as the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Mumford and Sons, Noah and the Whale, Ben Howard, and loads of others. So, you know, they're really good. It's quite a unique company in the sheer sort of breadth of solutions that James offers at Bright Onion Pedals. But yes, yeah, so I thought he would be a good one to go to, because it also made an ABY for guitar nerds. And if you remember, a couple of years ago, we did a pink giveaway, and one of the things you could win was a pink guitar nerds logo emblazoned ABY box. So I went to him and said, "Look, would you like to do a little utility thing with us?" And the reason I thought of that is because Tim, the guitarist in Polymath, his new guitar from Fidelity has a built-in unlatched kill switch. And he uses it loads. He uses it for loads of like rhythmic tremolo stuff that he does manually. Mm-hmm. So I thought that would be cool. It would be cool to get an unlatched kill switch done with the Polymath artwork from Bright Onion. So that's exactly what we had made in a little mini pedal format, unlatched kill switch with our Lotus design on the front. So James only made one for us, and so we'll be giving that away. But
amazing. Where can people listen to the record right now, Mr. Branton?
Well, you know, Spotify or any streaming platform. It's on all of them. So,
and this is album number
fourth for us. Yeah, because we've had, you know, EPs, random singles, splits, things like that. But yeah, I think we've done Reptiles, Melancholia, House of Wisdom, or We Are the Devil, and this one, Zenith, will be our fourth one.
I don't think I have Melancholia on vinyl. I definitely have Reptiles, and I definitely have the other one that you just mentioned.
House of Wisdom, yeah.
House of Wisdom. Because one of them, just to finish this part of the conversation, one of them, I think it's Reptiles. is at the record's at 45, which it doesn't say anywhere on the sleeve. And no. I remember the first time I played it, I was like, man, they've really gone down this like groovy, like chuggy slow route, because there's no vocals. You don't really get the vibe that anything's wrong. It just sounds a bit like it sounded fine, but it's one of those things where you listen to it and you're like, oh wait, let me just check. I've got another record by that. I'm a big fan of Comtruse, and who's like amazing, like one of the really early like synth wave people out there. And I played his record and I was like, this really sounds like it's a 45 and not a 33. And I had to get Spotify up and play the same track, because I'm like, it doesn't sound wrong. I'm like, is this how it sounds? And I've just forgotten. So yeah, just as a note, Joe, if you are printing another one on vinyl, yes, I'll have a copy. And also, please tell me if it's 45 or 33.
Yes, yeah, I always end up. Obviously, we get the artworks commissioned always by this guy called Sam Hall. SamHallArtwork.co.uk, dear listener, if you want to check his stuff out, it's amazing. But of course, I always end up then putting everything together on Photoshop, and so just I've learned through the years what information you should have on a cover rather than sort of what I wanted to put on a cover. So yes, but anyway, but that was cool. So it was nice to get a kind of a little pedal. I know it's just a utility thing, but it's fun, and an unlatched kill switch is always a cool thing.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm sure someone will find a great home for it with all their other pink stuff. Thanks for sending it to me, Joe.
Yeah.
I definitely after getting that Cogmeister and going, oh, I'm gonna have to put it on my pedal board. This is why, listeners of the podcast, when you build a new pedal board, you put everything together on the board. Don't wire it up. Just leave it out, you know, in your studio or your bedroom or wherever, and just look at it every day for a couple of days, because I guarantee you'll want to change something.
Yes.
Every time. I have to have it out for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I just keep changing stuff, and I'll like put it away and I'll get it out and I'll be like, oh yeah. And then I'll like take some of the pedals off and I'll test them individually and go, is this definitely the pedal I want? And I'm so glad I hadn't started wiring anything up, because the pedal's obviously massive. But thankfully I haven't actually somehow. It's like one of those magical puzzles where, you know, where you've got like a complete puzzle piece, but then there's still one missing, and they're like, fit the piece into the puzzle. Like one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like, here's four squares and a fifth one. You've got to fit the fifth square in this box or whatever. And I'm sort of like, how have I managed to rearrange my whole pedal board and put this new massive pedal on it and not lose any space? So I've still got one pedal space, and still need to fill it. Still haven't decided what it's going to be, so still testing some stuff. Who knows, I'll report back when I know.
I'm excited to see what happens. Well okay, so on the note of on pedal boards, I've got some things coming up in the next couple of months where I am playing guitar with my partner Emma on some stuff.
Oh, nice.
And so I've got to get a gigging rig basically together. So
that's not polymath.
Well, yes, but also it's for guitar. I'm playing guitar, and it's, you know, it's different. It's different, it's very style different stuff. So I've got to come up with a rig. So I settled on the guitar quickly. I just wanted to have like one thing, because, you know, I float between like three different guitars at home, and I was like, I can't be doing that. I'm not gonna bring three goddamn guitars to a show, you know. So I'm going for the Gres Mendocino. I think that's a great all-rounder. It's got that sort of lovely earthy, woody, organic hollow body sound, but it's still, you know, it's still very versatile and articulate as well. So perfect guitar, loads of character and loads of low end. And a lot of the stuff is just a guitar, a piano and a vocal. And the piano is quite sparing. And whilst I appreciate piano has a lot of low end, there's a lot of stuff where the guitar's exposed. So having a really sort of full rangy sounding guitar is kind of important. I think hollow bodies do that sort of thing the best. They just have punch and character in those low mids that, you know, other things, Tele, Strats, or anything solid body misses a little bit. Mm-hmm. And also, they sound great clean. And a lot of this stuff is going to be clean, sort of pushed amplifier, but I'm actually not using a drive pedal. I just wanted something like a small valve amp that was going to sound great. So I was kind of like looking at the amps that I have here. I didn't really want to be spending more money on another amplifier when I keep buying stuff at the moment. So I was like, right, I'll get something from my collection here. And I've settled on, I know, by the way, that the right choice is the Boss Katana that I have, you know, just for versatility and reliability. But I'm going through a bit of a valve thing at the moment, and that's fine. So first of all, I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about this amp first. I've settled on the Ashdown Peacemaker. The Ashdown Peacemaker Mini is an absolutely fantastic amp. It's a little 2-watt, valve class A 2-watt gorgeous sounding amplifier inspired by the little magnetone thing. So you've got the controls on the back and the, you know, just the little 12-inch speaker on the front.
I've never seen this. Why have I never seen this?
So that's why I want to talk about this. This was about a year and a half ago. Actually, probably 2 years ago this started. But a year and a half ago, all of us at Ashdown were pitching new ideas for a guitar amp series, a guitar amp range that would work. And one of the things that I didn't come up with the initial idea, but I put my weight behind this one and other, we ended up making a load of prototypes. I thought this was the best idea, a Peacemaker Mini based on a little magnetone. So we're just saying, here's a great sounding amp, no bells, no whistles, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It ended up not being the route that Ashdown chose to go down, which is why I've sent you a link, Matt, and dear listener, I'll put a link for you guys there as well. We only ever made two. Now I am keeping one of them, and the other one, they've just popped up on their B stock.
I've just seen that. Very, very cool indeed. So what's the difference between the light and... So it's got two inputs on the back for listeners.
Yeah.
Is one just to kind of... Has it just got a bit more roll off? Is it...
Yeah, it just sounds like a very treble boosted input. I think this is a direct copy. Dave Green, who designed this amp, I think the bulk of this is very much lifted from the little magnetone that he was inspired by. I think that had a similar thing. Mm-hmm. So light is cuttingly trebly, like very, very zingy. And dark is quite a bit more rounded. I'd almost say dark is the more standard sounding of the two, and light is very, very aggressive. Right. And then it has a gain, a volume, and three bands of EQ on the back, which is actually an expanded version of the magnetone, because I think the magnetone we were looking at just had a master tone. He wanted to put three bands on there. Mm-hmm. It drives amazingly. Is it actually incredibly loud for 2 watts? Like you could think it's 20. Like it's that loud. It's absolutely giggable.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's, you know, I'm no scientist, and I can't give you the exact formula. But as we said before, like 25 watts. It's not half the volume of 50 watts, or 50 watts is not half the volume of, you know, I think you have to, what, you have to divide by 10, I think. So it's like 10 watts is half the volume, 100 watts, as a generalization or something like that. So,
sure.
You know, you think how loud a little 10-watt amp is. Effectively, what you're getting with 1 watt is you're just getting something that it is really, it's just got less headroom. You know, it's still going to be super loud. I'm amazed at how loud some of those amps do go. But yeah, you just don't have the headroom, you know, and obviously if you're running pedals into it and stuff, that's where you kind of get into perhaps some issues, you know, and I say issues lightly, it's more just that, you know, you're not gonna be
different
running
character.
You're not going to be running a super clean reverb and chorus straight into the front end with the volume cranked. It's just not going to work, is it?
No, exactly. But the cleans on this, they sound good. They sound great. If you pump the gain on this, it sounds like a fuzz pedal. It's just amazing. Like, the way it breaks up is really gorgeous. Anyway, I loved it. It was so much better than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. That sounds rude. But I just mean, like, Ashdown aren't known for making guitar amps. You know, I expect them to be fine. But this was really remarkable. I really loved it. I think it's a great sounding amp. You know, I was thinking, I think that would actually be a great amp. It's small and portable. It's valve. It looks cool. And it's got that, you know, it's got the tone that I'm after. And it's unusual. So I'm like, definitely, it's going to be this amplifier. So it couples so beautifully with the Grez. My problem is that the setup is pretty simple. The sounds that I basically need are a edge of breakup guitar tone, which I can get, with a bunch of amp reverb, which of course I do not have now with the Peacemaker Mini. I've just got three bands of EQ, a gain, and a volume control.
Mm.
So it's changed my needs on the floor. I don't need any drive. Yeah, so I kind of need a tremolo here and there, maybe a delay. I'm not sure about it. I'll probably shove something on there, but really sort of the backbone of everything that I need to do is reverb, and it would normally be amp reverb. So if I go for this Peacemaker Mini, couple it with the Grez Mendocino, it means on the floor now I've got to consider a couple more things. I need to consider reverb. Now, worth noting, the Game Changer Plus pedal is an important part of the setup. So that goes on there, but it's not a traditional reverb. You know, I need something that's a more general purpose reverb as well. So I need to choose a reverb, really, and a tremolo that are going to give me access to those sort of Voxy, Fendery style tones and still be like a cool thing. So I was like, well, what reverbs do I have? And I realized I do not.
Not a single reverb.
I mean, I've got the KMA Cirrus, which is part delay, part reverb, but it's a very, it's a modern reverb. That's not what I want. What I want is amp reverb. I think there are some of the guitar nerds' reverbs at Jay Cross's house, but, you know, it's, they're there and it's difficult to get any of that stuff back.
He's so far away. I'm going to throw a couple of choices your way then, Mr. Branton.
Okay.
First choice, and actually, I haven't plugged one of these in for a while. Friend of the podcast, Blake, is a big fan of this brand. The Mr. Black Deluxe Plus Spring Reverb and Trem is an absolutely cracking pedal. So this is really a kind of splashy classic reverb alongside the sort of vintage F-type Trem that you'd see in a kind of deluxe amp. So you kind of got that tube Trem vibe with a splashy spring reverb all in one pedal. So control wise you basically just have intensity, speed for your tremolo, and then just reverb for your reverb control, all made in Portland, Oregon. But then you cover both with one box, which I think is very cool.
That is an option that I had not considered. Obviously there are options. Origin Effects do the same thing where you can get both, but it wasn't something I was thinking about. A good option. This is also much less money than I was expecting to be spending here. I'm looking at one on Anderton's now for £179. They come in a little side-on box.
Yeah, I think this is... For me, I think this is very cool. Yeah, this would cover, especially if you don't need the drive. And I think what you're going to get is you're going to get, you know, reverb going into a slightly gritty amp. That's going to give you a kind of real retro vibe.
Yes, which is what I want.
As it were. So I think that would be a very good option. I'm then going to throw a different option your way, which doesn't have the Trem, but you could buy a separate Trem afterwards. And this is, again, this is rogue. You would have never guessed this. But the Electro Harmonix Turnip Greens. which was their Overdrive and Reverb in one box, which was their Soul Food and the Holy Grail Max. So the Soul Food, great for pushing the amp just a little bit more if you need it. But then you've got the Holy Grail Max on there, so you've got a blend control, but you can also get some really big reverb sounds. And actually, looking at it now, you do have a send and return. So yes, you can actually now insert effects in between the two, and you can change the order if you want the reverb first or the dry first. Joe, this would be an excellent choice. This just needs a little tremolo pedal to go in the middle.
I would never have considered this. I would almost write them off as not being posh enough for the sort of setup I want.
I know, I think guitar players, especially now with the internet, we have all have smelt a bit much too wine. We're all sniffing the corks and we're going, I can't play an electroharmonics pedal because it's got electroharmonics on it. Those days need to be behind us all.
Right.
And honestly, I think this is, I remember that, Soul Food, this was, Soul Food, I'm sure we talked about it for many years on the podcast, but kind of the first clone. It felt like that people even really spoke about a clone. It's almost like they went, what's really good? A clone, but they're not quite $5,000 yet. And the Holy Grail's always been good. The Holy Grail's is, I'm looking at my vintage big box one now. Absolutely wicked. And the great thing about the Max is you've got spring hall plate. And I think you've also got a reverse on there as well. So you've got some of the weird stuff if you want it. But the fact that you've got the effects loop send and return, you can put your tremolo straight in there.
Very good. Definitely a great option. Okay, should I tell you the two that I had thought of as possibles? And then you can tell me if you think these are good or bad ideas. So I'll start with, I've got two. One is affordable, one is a premium.
But, okay.
I feel like the Game Changer Plus pedal sort of demands something equally wonderful and unique next to it. That was kind of my initial thought. So when I was thinking, well, I want that splashy amp reverb. Who does that the best? Surfy Industries, Surfy Bear.
Ah, of course.
Compact Tank. It's a £250 huge reverb pedal.
Do tell me, though, just before you go on, that this was your premium option. Right, okay. I was like, it's like one of those things now. It's like, is this the premium option or the cheap option? Okay, continue.
So this is very much the premium option. What I love about this is that it's a big, a huge box, kind of proper...
it's like a real spring.
Reverb. It's a real spring, yeah. So that's what I mean. It's like a big, proper reverb tank. The downside of this pedal for me is that there are a lot of controls, which kind of sits against what I want from these things. Like, you've got volume, mixer one, mixer two, tone, decay, and dwell. I just want to turn my reverb up and down, and I want you to make a thing that sounds good when I do that. That's kind of my feeling about reverb. So that feels like a lot of controls, but I do like the idea that I can switch between two presets via the mixer one and mixer two. That seems like a useful thing. I don't know 100% how that works, but...
I think what it is, I'm just loading them up there. So you've got the Surfy Bear. We haven't really talked much about Surfy Bear. Very cool. They make reverb, basically a stompable reverb tank. And it looks like you can buy the classic version, which is
huge.
Yeah, which I'm guessing is the big long spring tank. And then you can buy the Surfy Bear metal. I'd imagine that probably has like a 19-inch spring in it. So that just has volume, tone, mixer, and dwell, which are the controls that you want realistically.
Yeah.
Whereas the Surfy Bear compact, so I would hazard a guess that it's still one spring tank, but there's two volume controls, and that's what you're switching between. That would make sense. I don't think there'd be two separate tanks in there.
No, of course.
but I might be wrong, dual mix control set between two reverb settings. And then decay, yeah, because decay is, and dwell and tone are universal. Although it's got an overall volume, but I guess mixer is dry to wet. But it's very cool. I mean, I've wanted a Spring Reverb head for ages. And I saw one of these. I was at a well-known UK retailer the other week, and they had one in their studio. And I was like, they do look cool. That's just a cool bit of kit to take to a gig. Do you know what I mean? Big old splashy spring tank.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So it's very cool. I think it might be what I need, to be honest, but it's also massive. I'm trying to make this a small portable rig, so that's sort of a downside. Not the end of the world, though. So you ready for my cheap option?
Yes. Hit me, Joe.
Affordable option, Danelectro DSR1 Spring King.
Do you know what? I nearly said the Spring King, and then I was like, I'm not going to say the Spring King because I think they're rubbish. but I can't remember if they're truly rubbish or whether I remember them being rubbish. I definitely remember the thunder button, which is basically a big pad that you can kick it,
kick
never worked. You had to like smash it so hard for that to actually make a noise. It does have a real spring in it. I can't believe they're still in stock and they still make this product. That is crazy. Yeah. There must be a really...
£95 on Toman.
There must be a really small niche group of certain musicians using it for one reason, like lap steel in Kansas. I don't know. I don't think it's terrible. It will definitely... I guess what you've got to remember is... the size of the spring will determine the splashiness and that kind of thing. And I think these boxes are definitely small, got a small spring in it. So you'll find you won't get as big a reverb out of it.
Right.
It'll be kind of a very short, sharp, spring reverb where, you know, I guess in... something like the Surfy Bear, when you've got a bigger box, you'll get the kind of more splashy, you know, bigger of long tail reverb. That's the only thing to bear in mind. But I have seen those Surfy Bears come up secondhand for not a lot of money. Again, I think it's one of those things that people probably buy going, oh, this would be great. And then it is actually impractical. But I like the vibe of, I've gone down the digital route. I very much like your thought on the going down the analog route. So here's another suggestion for you, which I actually think sounds really good. I've seen these demoed. Similar price to the Surfy Bear, but the Carl Martin Headroom.
Yes, the Carl Martin Headroom was also something I thought about. Hard to find them these days because I think they've long since discontinued.
I found one.
Oh.
Found it. Where you've got just basically tone and level. So the only thing with that is you've got no control over, like, I think that's what I love about my Morgan PR12. Obviously, it's an amp head with a spring tank in it. But when you've got reverb and dwell, you can obviously control the volume of the reverb, but also the decay of the reverb. Right. So you can have a really splashy, you know, long decay reverb, but then you can dull the mix back so it doesn't kind of totally, you know, engulf your guitar sound. Which, yes, when you're running a 1-watt amp, obviously you're going to need to be careful in terms of balance, I guess.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I might need a little bit more shaping. That's also an option, but I think maybe you're right. I think maybe the Surfy Bear is a very, very similar thing at a very, very similar price point and is probably a bit better.
Yeah. I think if you want to go down the analog route, I think that would be a really good place to go. I think if you wanted to go down the digital route, definitely be interested to try the Turnip Greens again. I remember it sounding very good. I remember the Soul Food sounding very good. Mm-hmm. Holy Grail, very good. Surfy Bear could be a great little... especially with that Mendocino, that yeah. Brett Mendocino. You know, that is, you're getting in for some real vintage rockabilly vibes. Tiny small amp, cranked, with a splashy spring reverb. Very good.
It would be very cool. I think the pedal itself is going to end up being bigger than the amplifier, but it should be. Yes, indeed. Well, okay. So we'll see. We'll leave that one with me, and I'll see what I choose next week, and get back to you. Now, we've got a bunch of other things to talk about, but maybe at this juncture we should do a little bit of news, because we haven't done that for a long time on this podcast.
We've been blabbing too much, Joe, and I think we decided we should probably talk about some news.
yes. But now, very few new things on the market at the moment. Seems like a real quiet time for a lot of brands at the moment, but a couple of real exciting things, mostly in the pedal world, to be honest.
As always,
yeah. What would you like to go for first out of our two pedal options, Matt?
Well, since we've talked a lot about I talked a lot about fuzz anyway. Let's start with possibly, I think, one of the coolest bits of news in a long time, which is Electroharmonix announced the J. Mascus Ram's Head Big Muff Pi.
Seems like J. Mascus is getting a lot of signature stuff all of a sudden again.
Have people just suddenly realised his importance to music over like the last 30 years? It's really interesting. Obviously, signature guitar. He's had signature guitars for a while, but obviously more recently some more signature stuff.
Yeah.
The Tele, which I saw one in the flesh a couple months ago and was like, yep, I totally buy that. Reverb.com put together a very cool video interviewing J. Mascus and talking about it and talking about his collection of big muffs. And this is the one that he's always used. I think he said that he used to stack kind of two together. This pedal is always on. And he talks a bit in the video about how once it got stolen and he had to use a rat, and someone even came up to him at the gig and said, yeah, man, you didn't sound right. Like, something wasn't right for this gig. And he was like, oh, I didn't have my big muff. That's his, you know, that is very much his sound. So, but highly based, so in the compact form, just like you've seen the op-amp Big Muff, which was not directly a Smashing Pumpkins signature, but very much around the kind of Billy Corgan vibe. Obviously, you've seen the standard Ram's Head. This is based on the 73 V2 Violet Ram's Head Big Muff, which is kind of J. Mascus' go-to Big Muff for the last sort of 30-plus years. And they're saying the fuzz is sonically more articulate than other big muffs, with excellent string separation and dynamics, which makes it one of the most versatile big muffs.
Makes it one of the most almost applicable to modern use big muffs that you can get from Electroharmonix as well.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, I love my op amp big muff. It sounds absolutely amazing, but it is very much that Billy Corgan kind of wall of...
Yeah.
Muff, do you know what I mean? It's just like, here's a sound, nothing else. It's just like, it blasts you. Where the earlier ones, and you know, again, I think Thorpe's Fallout Cloud, previously Muff Room Cloud, was based on a specific big muff that Thorpe had, which would, again, was one of the earlier ones. And I think, yeah, they were a bit more articulate. They were transistor based rather than op amp based. I think, like, you're right, it's a little bit more applicable to kind of modern times, in the sense that there's a bit less gain. You can still drive it quite hard, but you can run it into a gainy amp. I'm into this. I think this is great. And according to the Electroharmonix website, $131.50.
That's the great thing about the Electroharmonix stuff, is it's so affordable in a time where, you know, well, just now, like, you just dropped £300 on your Coggins pedal. I was talking about dropping £250 on a big old reverb. And the great thing about Electroharmonix is they make stuff that sounds really, really good, and the prices are always really, really cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've kind of, I don't know, sounds like a contradiction, but they've kind of been somewhat quiet over the recent, I feel like they've been somewhat quiet over the recent sort of months. Anyway, it doesn't seem to be too much from them. I'm trying to think what the last launch was. Probably some sort of other compressor that sort of got left behind. But I was just sort of have a look at their website now in terms of muffs you can buy. So you can buy the J. Mascus Ramshead Big Muff Pie, the Nano Metal Muff. Don't buy the Nano Metal Muff. The Metal Muff, the most ridiculous muff of all time. You can buy the Ramshead Big Muff Pie. You can buy the Sovtek Deluxe Big Muff Pie, which I think is two in one box. The Triangle Big Muff Pie, the Op Amp Big Muff Pie, the Green Russian Big Muff Pie, and can you still buy the big ones? Oh, you can buy the Base Big Muff, the Nano Base Big Muff, the Deluxe Big Muff.
That is good.
You can also buy the Nano Big Muff, which is the modern one in the Nano box. You can buy the Deluxe Base Big Muff, which has got the XLR out, yep. The Germanium Big Muff. You can still buy the Base Big Muff Pie with Tone Wicker. I had one of those. They're really good. That's the standard Big Muff Pie with Tone Wicker, the Base Big Muff Pie, the Little Big Muff. And you can still buy the Big Muff, which is the one in the
proper
Big,
big chassis. Oh. Which why wouldn't you want that one?
Yeah, exactly. Probably just because it's massive. You can also buy a Metal Muff with Top Boost, which... Just saying that out loud made me realise that is insane. That is like, yes. And I mean, that is only, I would say, 40% of all of the drive pedals that they sell currently.
Yeah. So what do you think is the best Big Muff that the Electro-Harmonix make in their current lineup?
If I had to buy one?
Yeah. So let's sort out the good ones. So Ramshead Big Muff Pie. Triangle Big Muff Pie, Green Russian Big Muff Pie,
Op Amp Big Muff Pie. I think they're the kind of, and then the standard Nano one, which is the modern one.
What about the Tone Wicker? That's surely in with a shout.
No, I was thinking about all the compact ones actually. So you've got Nano, basically the Nano series. So Nano Big Muff, Nano Ramshead, Triangle, J. Mascus, and Op Amp.
Op. Yeah.
And Green Russian.
And Green Russian.
If I had to buy one,
yeah,
I would probably buy the J. Mascus one.
Really?
I just think it sounded really good. I know this sounds silly, but I'm sort of a sucker for the violet colour. Not violent, that would be a bit wrong. on the front. I mean, although saying that, the Op Amp, to me, is the kind of... the classic muff sound that most people will know because of Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins kind of vibe.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I actually don't know that much. As a bass player, it's just, you know, they only did that bass Big Muff and it was never really the right sort of sound for me. So I don't know that much about what each of the different Big Muffs bring to the party. So I'm not asking you to go through all of them, but like what separates a Green Russian from an Op Amp from a Ram's Head?
So I think, and I'm probably going to butcher it here, I think it's very much based on the circuitry design about how it makes gains. So obviously you've right. got transistors,
yeah.
You can diodes.
So
I guess sonically, much less gain and more of a kind of classic driven sound from the earlier ones that had a lot of gain,
right,
all the way through to like the Op Amp Big Muff, which uses an operational amplifier, loads of gain, almost like a wall of sound. So I almost kind of liken Triangle Big Muff to 70s Pink Floyd and Op Amp Big Muff to 90s Smashing Pumpkins.
I see. And where does the Green
the kind
Russian
of Russian is? It, I always found the Russian Big Muff was much more like a distortion pedal in the sense that it kind of felt a bit more gainy and a bit more. I think it's been a long time since I plugged one in. The last time I plugged one in was the kind of black box reissue from the late '90s, early 2000s. But a big user of the original Green Big Muff was actually Scott Schreiner from Weezer.
Oh yeah.
If you know much of the Weezer bass tone. But for anyone listening, if you want to read all about it. There's a guy called Kit Rae, K-I-T-R-A-E. And if you go to kitrae.net, he is a big muff collector and blog writer all about the muff. So it's literally the Bible on nothing but big muff. And he also collects fantasy swords. So awesome. if you're into crazy fan art swords and big muffs, probably mainly the big muffs, this is the place to go. The guy has basically one of everything that ever existed. He's got a great picture on his homepage, which is all of them, which includes like the Guild Foxy Lady, which I think was the first one, which was licensed to Guild.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think you went triangle, then pie, then ram's head, then op-amp, then Sovtek, the Russian one, and then back to kind of modern day. But yeah, it's this huge webpage. It's an amazing, amazing resource for anything relating to Big Muff. I think on here there's, six, eight, ten? There's probably about 20 different variations of Big Muff that ever existed.
Wow. I see. Okay. Well, that's good. That's handy to know. The description of the Green Russian was good. So, you know, that's actually probably less big, what I would think in my head of being a big muff style pedal, and almost thinking about them as increasing in gain structure or getting a bit more wall of soundy as they move along.
Mm. Yeah, I think I just wondered if anyone had actually done a nano shootout of all of the muffs, and they have. So
if you
Google Big Muff Pie shootout, you can watch someone shoot out every single type of Big Muff, which I'm also going to save and watch later. and then reading them out loud sort of made me go, I should really like collect all of those.
Yeah, I'm going to buy one. I don't know which one, so I'm going to watch the video. I'm going to choose one.
Yeah, I really want this J Mascus one, but it seems to only link to reverb and can't seem to buy it elsewhere. I think maybe you can only pre-order it on reverb. This is live information, reading it live. Probably totally outdated by you read this note. Due to overwhelm, this must be a reverb exclusive because the website only links to the official J Mascus of Dinosaur Jr. reverb shop. Note: due to overwhelming public response, we've bumped up the production timeline of additional units of the J Mascus Ram's Head Big Muff. We are so deeply appreciative of the support. We are currently working around the clock to fill your orders from the first batch, which sold out much faster than we could have ever anticipated. We are currently accepting pre-orders for the second and likely final batch to be made available here. Pedals from this second batch are expected to begin shipping within the next 5-10 business days on or around August the 25th.
Wow.
So there you go. I'm sort of tempted to order one. Yeah, the J Mascus Ram's Head Big Muff is exclusive to reverb.
Holy heck. Yeah, that is really cool. I don't think that one's the one for me. I think it's going to be the triangle.
Ooh. Yeah. Order one.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this video. I want it to be the Green Russian because it looks cool, but I think it will be the triangle, or I might just get the big box one because they look fantastic.
Mm.
But though, it's a bit big. I get to rebuild Tim's pedal board soon because we took it all apart for recording the last album and then just, you know, plug in what you need. And we're sort of done on all our shows where we'd be playing the old stuff. The next shows that come up will be when we're touring the album. So we've got to rebuild a board for him that's got all the things that he'll need for this. So, and nice. Of course he used, we had the, Earthquake Advices. I've forgotten the name of the pedal. The Japanese clone of
the, it begins with an H.
Yes. Hizumitas. I didn't know how to say it.
I forgot you had that because that's also like a clone of a Big Muff clone.
Yes, a clone of a Big Muff clone. It was for Boris, wasn't it? It was Boris's signature pedal. But I only had that on loan, so that went back. So I could buy one of those, but you know, also they're £150 and it's like £60 for an electro harmonics pedal. So But Tim needs a Big Muff, and he doesn't have a Big Muff, so
I've got to
get something. So, we'll see.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'm sort of looking at this Jamie Oscus one now, going, oh, sort of really want it now that I know I can't buy it later. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
That is how they get you.
That is how pre-orders work, Matthew.
Yeah. And then it's just like, yeah, you're only going to make it for like one day and you've got to order it now. It's like, what? I don't need time to think.
There's no time, order it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realise it was exclusive to Reverb, but it makes way more sense now that it is. But interestingly, yeah, if you want to buy an original version similar to J-Mask's own version, it will set you back roughly around 1,500 Great British pounds. So there you go. Not surprising that they've done a reissue of it.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that is expensive. Now, we are coming up to the end of the podcast, so we're going to continue the news over on our Patreon special episode. I think we're also going to maybe sort of answer some questions or weigh in on a question that was asked by John Bai on the Guitar Nerds group earlier this week, amongst some other things. You can join us, dear listener, over on the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You get an extra episode every week. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, You get the podcast ad-free via Patreon and early every week. $5 gets you access to all our Patreon specials and the back catalogue. $10 gets you the lot, plus your name will be sung in a song at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Abandoned, and it began. Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.